Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Including great specials. Now through Tuesday, Old Milwaukee 30 packs, $14.95. Yuengling Golden Pilsner 12 packs, $9.43. And now select 6 packs for sale too. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels of the dills, incomparable, indeed second to none. Get your tailgating right. That means a stop to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Our play-by-play call of the day and a one-point win last night. A little magic between DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson.
Second down and 7. Russell, play fake, drops back. Going to throw it deep. Got a man. It's Metcalf. He's out there. Touchdown, Seahawks! From 40 yards out, DK Metcalf just ran right by the Rams secondary. Russell hit his back foot and threw a rainbow to the end zone. And the Seahawks have taken the lead over the Los Angeles Rams 13-6.
Won the game 30-29 last night. Greg Zuerlein had a chance to win it at the end with about 11 seconds to go, but could not knock home the 44-yard field goal. And again, Sean McVay, I know he's labeled by everybody as a genius. I think he does a lot of things really well. But I'll tell you right now, he loses track. He loses track of time. Last night, they got a 5-yard delay game penalty because he was messing around getting the play in and took so long that, and it's on him because he waits a long time before he gets the play in. Well, there's certain times you got to move. Well, he didn't move, and he cost his team 5 yards. All right. I believe we have, do we have Nate?
We sure do.
Nate Bauer, supposed to be on the golf course. Titanic match. Rich Scarcella. Joe Giuliano. With that, we bring in a guy that probably would have to give 8 strokes to anybody he faces, Nate Bauer.
Steve, it all fell apart on me.
Rich again? Bailed. Every Rich, time we talk about it, falls apart.
Rich bailed. He's got an interview. Joe Giuliano bailed.
You have my number.
If are you busy at 2?
I'm down here doing the show.
Take a break. Give it to T. Frank. He's good. He's got it.
Well, I know he's got it. In fact, you know, I mean, he'll be the first to tell you he's way better than I am.
No. Let's not get carried away. Come on.
Well, let's get to this particular week. It's a week where they're coming off a lot of platitudes. I mean, everybody thought they played terrific. I mean, it's really hard to find mistakes outside of Micah Parsons and what he did in the first quarter of that game where he's called for targeting and ejected. What do you want to see as progress forward in playing tomorrow's game that would tell us that there's progress here?
Boy, that's a great question, actually.
That's why the name's on the show, Nate.
I guess I have a couple of thoughts. The first is, you know, my expectation or my anticipation for this team is that the defense will stay very good, but the offense will be hot and cold. I don't see any way that they're at a point right now where they're going to be consistent game in and game out. That's just development. That's just kind of how things go.
Right.
And so for them to be able to do what they did against Maryland in terms of points, I think even against as banged up as this Purdue team is, put it this way, running routes on air, I think, would be difficult to put up that many points, right? Or
right.
to be expected to put up
right.
that many points. But if you look back at Maryland, you know, one of the other aspects of the way that game went down was Maryland's tackling was so terrible. It wasn't like all of those points came from deep shots that were just perfect connections. You know, Clifford was hitting guys in the, you know, underneath and in the flat, and they were just bouncing off of players. And so when you've got that type of pinball action where Nick Bowers can rumble for 50 yards downfield because, you know, when he catches the ball 7 yards from the line of scrimmage, nobody can tackle him. You know, those are the results that you're going to see. So I know that Purdue has some questions with tackling itself, so maybe that's how this plays out, is maybe they don't need to go to that type of deep shot offense. But, I think it'll be tough to do that again, necessarily, in terms of points. But on the flip side, defensively, you know, for me, it's can this secondary – play well against I understand that Purdue's got a backup quarterback. I understand that their best receiver is out, but that's an offense designed to pass the ball. So
if
Penn State's going to face something resembling a passing attack tomorrow, can they withstand that? Can they continue to keep, you know, these teams off the board?
I believe 44% of Sean Clifford's pass yards are actually with the balls in the air. That means the other 56% are would be after the catch.
Yep.
And I think that's something that you do look at when you put this together. The offensive line in two of the four games has not given up a sack. Have you seen progress there, or is it something you want to wait a couple of weeks to talk about?
No, I mean, I think that some of the negativity around that group in the first couple of weeks was just reflexive. You know, it's so easy after the past 5 years of Penn State football to just, you know, without even thinking, say, oh, the offensive line stinks. You know, I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. Cliff's ability to read the blitz, the running backs picking up the blitz, those were major factors in some of those early problems that they had. And even then, I just thought that if you were just focusing in on the offensive line, that they were largely doing their job. Des Holmes had a bad day. I can't even remember when it was. Was it Idaho? Maybe he gave up a couple of pressures or sacks, or maybe it was Buffalo. It was one of those two games. But if you look up at the sacks or pressures that they've given up, it's really limited. It's really isolated, to a couple of guys basically. So, you know, I think that the offensive line is. I'm not going to say. Like, I don't want to get carried away.
That's why I couched the question the way I did. Maybe we have to wait a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan and Michigan State and Ohio State are going to be a different animal. But we'll see. Absolutely. No doubt. But that goes back to the beauty, truly, the beauty for Penn State fans of this schedule is if you wanted anything for some of the untested or inexperienced positions on Penn State's offense or defense, if you wanted anything for them, it was to get acclimated and to get accustomed to this level. And the schedule has provided that. It's provided that experience where they're going to be able to go into next week, presumably, with a lot of confidence. You know, and that's in a lot of ways, I think that's invaluable.
When you had an opportunity, Nate, to talk to some of the players about Jesse Luketa, in a week where he was asked to step in and play extensive minutes and probably play about as instinctively as I've ever seen him play, including practices, what were the other players telling you about him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily other players, but I mean, even within my own interactions with the kid, I mean, he's just great, right?
he's a lot of fun.
He's just an awesome kid. He's well-spoken. He's respectful. He's passionate and enthusiastic. He's all of those things. And so I thought that James Franklin's response to the first question about the linebackers and having, you know, basically a rotation of nine linebackers, right? Like, I thought that it was very instructive on Tuesday that they've got, like, this is legitimate depth. And so whether it's Luketa or Brooks, catcher, you know, Brandon Smith, you name it, they've got across the board guys that can fill in and not only play well when something goes wrong for the starter or when they're in subbing for a starter, but in some cases you wonder, wow, you know, maybe they're just as good, or maybe they bring, you know, something different or exciting to the field. I mean, I just think that if you're Brent Pry today, you got to be very, very happy, because when you have that kind of depth and you're able to get that kind of depth, the experience to build from, that really sets you up for good things, not only now but in the future.
Well, in fact, I'll relate a quick story to you, and I think you probably have heard me tell this before, but in the 2000s when Jack Ham and I would go to the first practice we'd go to in the spring or in the preseason, one of the first areas we'd go over would be to the linebackers, and we wouldn't look at the first two group. We'd look at the third group, and Jack would say, boy, that guy can play, that guy can play. This is in the 2000s. When the sanctions hit, we'd then go over and look at the linebackers, and the two of us would look at each other and say, hey, look, nobody in the first group can get hurt.
Yeah.
Now they're back to when you walk in there and you see the third group, look at each other and go, they are in good shape for a while here.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm in the process of procrastinating, of writing the column that I've been meaning to write all week, which is just, this is the first time, I think, that they've been able to do this on both sides of the ball, where James is comfortable with not just his starters, but the second team has legit players on both sides of the ball. And they've been able to get them. Like, I guess my point is the defense for the past 6 years has maybe had more of those opportunities, you know, the way that they rotate the corners in, and the linebackers have gotten more and more work, and the defensive line, you know, they rotate eight, right, on the defensive line at least. This is the first time that you're really seeing it on both sides of the ball, and I think that they really expect it to pay dividends down the road.
Yeah, that's why in the offseason people would ask either on this show or when I was speaking what I thought, and I said, look, I felt really good about 40 out of the 44 spots going in.
Yep.
Well, now you've seen Brisker, so there's 41. Now you've seen Chisena, there's 42. Now you've seen Des Holmes and the rotation with Thorpe and Miranda. Now you're at 44, and now you can extend it out to Adisa Isaac. You can extend it out to Brandon Smith. You can extend it out. You know, so now they're up, I would say, 53 or 54 guys that you can look at, and you can trust them at any point of the game, first, second, third, or fourth quarter.
That's to me
where they are.
I was looking at snap counts yesterday from last season and trying to compare it to some of what they've had this year. They've got, and now this doesn't tell a whole story, but I think it gives you a little bit of an idea. They have 26 players on offense that have at least 30 snaps in the first four games. Right. They had 28 total last season that had 30 snaps or more players. You know, so from 26 up,
they're going to have, conceivably three times that. I mean, it's just the baseline level is going to be so much higher for so many more players down past 11, past 12, past 13, 14, 15. Right. You know, those guys are going to have that experience, and that's going to be very valuable for them in the future.
I want to ask just a quick question outside of Penn State. The next two opponents play each other tomorrow. That's Iowa and Michigan. What are a couple of things that will you be looking at in that game?
Points. Can anybody score them?
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's right. Listen, my football analysis, Steve, is very limited. But here's one thing I know.
Yes.
Nobody in the Big Ten can score points. And so because of that, if you don't have teams that can score points, that gives just about anybody a chance to hang. And particularly, in my mind, for Penn State, not only a chance to hang, but to win.
Of course.
If Michigan and Iowa play an 18-17 game tomorrow, to me, that bodes very well for Penn State moving forward, because one side of things, there aren't a lot of teams in the Big Ten that are going to put up more than 24 or 27 on this defense. And two, there's really not a lot of teams that are going to hold this Penn State offense. In terms of them holding Penn State's offense, Penn State's offense might hold itself to 21 points or 17 points, but not a lot of defenses are going to do that. So that's going to be an interesting component for me to watch moving forward, is how, you know, if Michigan State continues to put up 17 points, you know, like where are the offenses in this league, and can they match up? Can they score? I don't think so.
Well, don't take it as a bad sign that Rich and Joe Giuliano bagged you. I mean, I think they still think you're a pretty good guy. I don't think it was deliberate.
Listen, I don't want to take this too seriously, but it really hurts my feelings, to be honest with you. I'm devastated personally and emotionally. So I'm gonna have to fight.
That's why we felt if we had this segment, it would probably ease the pain a little bit.
It's true. You talked me off the ledge.
Normally we do that with the fans. All right, so.
Do you, though?
No, they don't really listen.
I listened to the show last night. Give me three running backs at a time.
Yeah, I heard they give me three running backs at a time. So I looked over at James and said, "So now you're running out of guys to take off the field."
just get the offensive linemen out of there. You don't need them.
Oh, my goodness. Let's use all three. I'm like, of course, I'm just sitting there just smiling. Right? James is smiling. HBO's filming. Just keep smiling. Oh, yeah. Three running backs. Yeah, we'll use three of them. We have a suggestion box.
That's the key. That's the ticket.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Dave Power, Blue White Illustrated. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
So next week, who's Shikellamy playing?
At this point, next week, Shikellamy will be playing Southern Columbia, and Holy Redeemer will be playing Wyoming area.
But could that change?
It could change. We may find out sometime on Monday that they may go back to that original flip-flop plan where Shikellamy would play Holy Redeemer and Southern Columbia would play Wyoming Area next weekend. So the story is not over yet. We thought it was over, but it's not over. And once again, the discussion puts a cloud over Shikellamy homecoming, which is tomorrow night.
Who's running this thing? I mean, seriously, who's running this thing?
That's the funny part of all this. We learned about it 3 weeks ago. That was going to be the plan, that the games were going to change. And clearances were done through District 2, District 4, and even the PIAA. Oh,
I don't know any of you, but guess what? From this seat, okay, I don't see you running anything. You have no idea what you're doing. You have four entities that are in complete agreement as to what to do. The four teams. Let them play. Oh, and by the way, if you're mad at me for saying that, I want you to remember these three words. I don't care. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwoods 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. Stock up for homecoming now. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Specials now through Tuesday include Old Milwaukee, 30 packs, just $14.95. Yingling Golden Pilsner, 12 packs, $9.43. And now, select 6 packs for sale, too. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, all together now, second to none at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket, as Keith Mull put on our Facebook page, Go King Go. And now, here he is, Sean.
Formerly number 78 in your Enfield High School football program, number one in our hearts, the weekend kickoff tradition unlike any other in Central PA. The one and only, no hitch in his giddy-up no more, the one and only Kevin Jones.
What up? I want my Brewers Outlet homecoming pickle. Mr. Pickles.
Well, with what you've been dealing with your hip, you deserve some pickles, and we're glad you're feeling better.
I am doing absolutely wonderful. I have a tremendous surgeon. I told him, I saw him the other day. I mean, I am ahead of schedule, and because I've been working pretty hard at it, but he said, you know, you got to be careful because I want you on that cane. I don't want you to just walk. I can walk freely now. I haven't walked since March, so. And I said, man, you did a great job. He goes, not bad for my first one. I sat back. He said, ah, just kidding. He does 600 a year.
Yeah.
Like, that's 600 a year. Man, not me. So, And I don't think you can mess up at all. But he did a wonderful job. I'm so pleased. It's like a miracle. So I'm a new man. So how are you guys doing?
Not 0-1, not 7-0 good.
Mr. 7-0.
I'm really sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. 7-0, 26-10 for KJ.
I'm licking my finger in the air going, that's another one.
Well, I'm the one. Well, I'm the one that texted you on Tuesday saying, "Yeah,
I felt so bad for you."
I said, "It's over. I'm done. I'm in the pit of misery. There's no
you
way."
You are not done, especially after this week, because I don't know. I'm not confident at all this week. So,
yeah, well, you're throwing the Jedi mind trick there. But yeah, 26-10 for you, Stefano. 23-13. I am 20-17. Steve and I both last week were 4-3.
Which is good. Those are tough games.
It's my upsets haven't been hitting so far.
No, exactly. That's how it goes. I mean, and sometimes, remember last year, that one game, I knew I was screwed for the year when the kicker missed five field goals, two extra points and five field goals. I'm like, what are the chances, you know? I don't have a clue this year. But, you know, and then sometimes it goes right for you. But I don't know.
Yeah, let's plow ahead and we'll see where we land.
Yep, it's fun. Makes it enjoyable. But one thing, me and Steve were talking earlier in the week, there's an awful lot of, like, blowouts, like 50 points, you know?
Yeah.
It's like there's a huge difference between a lot of these teams now that there's not the parity that there used to be. My God, UConn was playing you. I laughed so hard the week before. Pittsburgh beat UCF, right? And what, UCF's lost like one regular season game in 3 years, and Pittsburgh beats them. I looked at Claire, I said, they're playing UConn next week. I'm like, this is just not a good situation. I put the UConn-UCF game on. It was 45-0. 1 minute into the second quarter. I'm like, how can you even say you're a football program and let a team score 45 points in a quarter? And that's what I mean. Some of these teams are so bad, you know, where the other, I don't know how good the other teams are, and I was kind of thinking maybe this concussion thing is parents pulling their kids away from football, and there's not as good a football athlete as there used to be. I don't know.
Well, there's supposed to be parity because you have 85 scholarships and nobody can sign more than 25.
Right.
And I think for a while we saw a closing of the gap, but yeah. I agree with you. I think now you have the haves, and the haves really have it.
Yep.
And the have-nots absolutely don't have it.
It's not competitive. You know, man on man, the guy across the line is just way better than you are. And speaking of that, that Aaron Donald, he's the best lineman I've ever seen. I was wrong last year. Remember I was saying, he's not that good, you know? I was way off. Did you see the game last night?
Yeah, he played really well, and I think he is one of the better ones I've seen. I think he can be in the conversation with Alan Page, Joe Green, Merlin Olsen, you know, people like that. I mean, he can be in the conversation with him. He's really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen a defensive player change a game like he can since Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, the problem is, though,
when Lawrence Taylor changed how offense is played.
Problem is, they need more Aaron Donalds, though, on that team. I mean, who'd have thought that Tampa Bay would put 50 on them last weekend?
I know. And that's way off. And did you see the pass that, to Lockhart in the second quarter?
Yeah, in the corner, touchdown. We touched the toes down. Yeah, it's great, great throw, incredible catch.
He threw that ball running to his left.
Yeah,
and threw a strike in the corner, and Lockett just catches it and gets both toes down. That just fascinated me. I was like, man, these guys are good. Seattle's good. So,
Yeah, well, he's really good.
You couldn't miss them last night. Fluorescent color rush jerseys. Yeah. They were
when he transferred from NC State to Wisconsin, he did it in the middle of the summer. And I have to vote on the preseason All Big Ten. You know, and I also vote on the All Big Ten postseason. And so they make it so you have to they change the rules all the time. But I remember I think I had to vote for 10 guys and I had to vote for preseason player of the year. So I voted my 10 guys and I voted Russell Wilson preseason player of the year. And Ron Vanderlinden, who's now the linebacking coach at Air Force, was the linebacking coach here. And Wayne Sebastianelli, Ron and I were driving up to Scranton. Ron was going to make a speech. And Ron asked me who I voted for, and I told him. He says, Russell Wilson, really? I said, geez. I said, Ron, I said, name another quarterback in this league that has 103 career touchdown passes. And he looked at me and says, you know, you're right. And then at the end of the year, I voted for Wilson. I kept it consistent. Didn't do anything to me to change my mind. I voted him player of the year in the Big Ten, even though Monte Ball won it. But I voted for Wilson player of the year because I said, this guy is just phenomenal.
He's incredible. And he's gotten better every year, which is saying a lot. What happened to Monte Ball?
Not quick enough.
Really?
You know, I mean, to play in the league.
I kind of like Ron Dane.
He was in Wisconsin, and to be honest with you, I thought he was really good at Wisconsin, but I didn't think he was great. I know he had the NCAA record for touchdowns and things like that, but you have system quarterbacks. I felt like he was the system running back.
Right. Boy, Wisconsin's good every year. Good college football program.
Yeah, no, they play, they do what they do very, very well. I will say this, they do have a big problem there. Again, their quarterback situation with Jack Cohn is going to be the part that is going to cost them a game.
Hmm. They really haven't had a great quarterback since Russell Wilson.
No, they have not.
Yeah.
Well, you were 7-0 last week, so let's get to it here.
Okay.
All right, so we got our Super 7 of games, 4 college, 3 pro. Tomorrow, we'll just go in chronological order. The noon game on Fox tomorrow will be Iowa at Michigan.
I'll go last.
Okay. I will take Iowa.
I also have Iowa. Iowa's very similar to Wisconsin. I think they're going to blow Michigan out.
It's just another game, another ranked opponent that Michigan has to go up against, and
they don't beat good teams.
I know they're at home tomorrow, but
Harbaugh's got a lot of explaining to do.
I will go with Iowa. I just think they're better organized, but I'll tell you right now, I don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game.
Tractor pull.
Yep. Yeah, but I'm going with Iowa.
Okay. 3:30 window tomorrow, the CBS SEC game, Auburn taking on Florida. I guess these two teams haven't played each other in quite a while.
Haven't played since 2011, and they're in the same conference.
How can that be?
That's strange, and they've played each other so much over the years.
Yeah, but you know what? This is all these conferences and the Big Ten, and I've talked to the Big Ten people about this as if they care for hearing about me. I said, look, this is not brain surgery. I said, you go out, you play all the teams in your division, that's 6. You play 3 in the West, then home and away, so that's 3 in 2 years. Then you do it again with the next 3. So now in 4 years, I've played 6 teams in the West, home and away. Then in the third rotation, year 5, you put that 7 team that you didn't play yet, plus the first 2 from the first year, and you keep rotating like that. That way, in 5 years, you play everybody. And it's like, I don't get what the formula is. And in the SEC, you have designated crossover games, which I hate. Okay, if you wanted to play every year, put them in the same division. Alabama plays Tennessee every year. Whoa, does that ever do something to schedule? Whoa.
And Alabama beats the crap out of them.
Of course they do.
Yeah. thing going on down there is crazy. So.
Oh, it's a professional league.
Yep.
So Auburn and Florida tomorrow. So we've been picking Auburn games quite a bit here on the show, and I just think this Bo Nix, he just continues to shine, and the more he wins, the more national spotlight he is going to get. I'm going to stick with Auburn.
Good pick. I went with Florida. Excuse me. Their defense is very good, and I don't think he's faced a defense like this yet. So I love his name, and I hope he does good. But I'm just picking Florida on this one, plus they're at home. So,
well, I'm going to pick Auburn because I think at 21 out of 22 spots, they're better. When you look at pressure, pressure is going to be the entire name of the game here. These numbers are going to blow you away. And Bo Nix. Now, the quarterback rating is based on a 1 to 100, okay? So 1 to 100. Bo Nix, when he is not pressured, has a QBR rating of 86. The quarterback who is now for Florida, right? Oh, Toller's his name? Whatever his name is. Okay? And he has a quarterback rating when he's not pressured of 95. Now, do you know what their ratings happen to be when they're pressured? Bo drops to 5.8, mm-hmm. and the other kid for Florida drops to 3.7. They're the two highest dramatic drops in all of college football. It's all about pressure. I'm going to pick Auburn. I think get more pressure. Yeah. Exactly, but that's.
Yeah. I mean, my rating would drop if a 6 foot three, 300 pound muscle bound freak was chasing me to kill me.
No, I'm telling you, when someone's out there consumed with hate chasing you, you get rid of the ball.
My ratings would drop. I keep running down the tunnel.
But that's how dramatic it is. I'm going to go with Auburn, by the way.
Okay, another 3:30 game tomorrow. This would be the ABC game, Texas at West Virginia.
Interesting game.
West Virginia is not very good. Texas will beat them by 17 points.
I also have Texas.
No, I took West Virginia. I just have an epiphany. So.
Well, we know what that led you to last year.
Nothing. I had a horrible year. That's why I told you the other day, don't panic.
Well, you're going to parlay this 7-0 from last week into something sweet, or we're going to be a crash back to reality. So it's one of the two.
No, West Virginia's at home, and they're tough at home. That's my only reason. Texas still hasn't proved anything to me. So I know they're much better, and they're a good team this year, but you got to win these big games. This is a big game. West Virginia's tough. So, we'll see.
All right, so we go to primetime then tomorrow night. Fox tomorrow night's got California at Oregon.
Well, you know, everybody's pinned all their hopes on Oregon and Herbert. Cal's played pretty well. I'm so tempted to pick Cal, but I'm going to go with the home team, Oregon.
Yep, I'm going to take Oregon, too.
I also took Oregon. Cal's quarterback's hurt. And Cal's one of them snake-bitten teams, I think, this year. Very good team, but it's like 2 points short, you know. So I got Oregon also.
All right, on to our pro picks for Sunday. Let's start with the 1 p.m. window on Fox. You got the Vikings at the Giants.
I'll take the Giants because I just don't think Kirk Cousins has it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Mike Zimmer defense against Mr. Jones. So I'm going to take the Vikings.
By the way, Barkley is ruled out, even though he did practice this week.
Which is phenomenal in its own right.
I know, I can't believe Saquon practiced. But.
Wow.
I took the Giants because A, Kirk Cousins, and B, the Giants are on a roll right now. They played very well last week. Very well. All albeit was against Washington, right?
Yeah.
But their defense is starting to come around, and the kids can flat out play. I think I texted Sean. I said, this kid's for real.
Yeah,
he's making plays that, you know, are legitimately pro football plays, you know, that not necessarily all coaching. He's got great instincts. These Giants look like they made the right pick. Because what's his name? Haskins? He was awful. So
Yeah, three interceptions.
Washington is an awful program. So, yeah. And one thing people are missing with Haskins, he only played 1 year in college, you know. Now you throw him into a pro level, and that's kind of, you know, that's tough. So he will be a good quarterback, but he's got a ways to go.
Well, we did hear Haskins is not getting the start for the Redskins on Sunday against the Patriots. So
Colt McCoy.
It'll be Colt McCoy. But question is, will Jay Gruden still have a job come Monday? So.
Oh. Yeah, they're all talking about that.
Yeah.
They're actually saying the players might throw the game just so he loses.
I guess after the Redskins game.
Like
I guess after Redskins, Pats, and Washington has a bye after that. So
yeah.
Gives him some time.
Yeah, because we said that in the staff meeting about some interim guy that we might just throw the week.
that's our NFL today. You know, let's quit. Let's throw the game. Let's, you know, show up at the stadium with a Brinks truck, you know.
Hey, there could be a battle in our hands, though, a couple weeks down the road. It's going to be Washington at the Dolphins, and we could have a battle of 0 for teams. the battle, you know, loser gets Tua next year. So.
Well, that's why they're saying that the Washington players might throw the game, because they think they could beat Miami, and they want 2 weeks under a new coach. So, and they're playing New England, so whatever.
I guess the line's like 15.5, something like that. So, yeah. 100.9 The Valley on Sunday at 1, Heinz Field. See if the Steelers can start stacking some wins. It is the Ravens and the Steelers.
Baltimore. Steelers are not very good.
Well, that's like you, Steve, with Giants versus Cowboys.
Oh, no, yeah. No. You so, can't pick the Ravens.
Nope.
You pick the Ravens, I disrespect you.
Nope. I got to take Pittsburgh.
Oh, Sean, I didn't pick this game because I knew you'd take Pittsburgh. I watched the Pittsburgh game. They look great. They look like they've turned the corner to me. And the Ravens had a tough loss last week. I like Pittsburgh.
Ravens have given up 73 points in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, yep. I like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's looking pretty good right now.
And,
not out of anything. They're still right in the division race.
No, so. They win on Sunday, then they're tied for first in the division. So let's stay in the division because we got
I'm taking the Ravens.
Yeah. So we'll stay in division. Cleveland, San Francisco. That's a Monday night game. Interesting matchup.
I'm going to take the Browns in that one.
Hmm.
It's going to be a good week.
I'm going to San Francisco.
I'm going with San Francisco also.
Right.
I'm not sold on Cleveland at all. San Francisco's a good football team.
And they've had 2 weeks to prepare. And they've had 2 weeks to prepare.
Okay, I'm drooling over a pickle right now, so I'm going to take a ride out to Brewer's Outlet, and I'll be back next week.
Well, while
I'm going over a friend's house to have steaks on the grill.
Love it.
Okay, guys, have a great week.
Hey, you have a great weekend.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.